Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, our mighty fortress. Amen. Our text is the Old Testament reading, the testing of Abraham. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts this Lenten season. Give us your Holy Spirit. May your word penetrate our minds and hearts and give us faith and repentance. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Abraham passed the test. Will you pass your test? That's a good question as we begin Lent. Abraham was given this famous test by God. Go and sacrifice your only son, your beloved son, Isaac. And Abraham passes the test. He takes him out to a mountain where God shows him. He puts him on wood, pulls out the knife, and as the Bible says, he's going to slaughter him, his own son. And the angel sees his faith and says, Abraham, Abraham, now we know that you fear God. Question today as we begin Lent, who really gets the credit for Abraham passing this test? Who gets the credit for it? Do we applaud Abraham today? Have a service about Abraham? What great faith Abraham had. What great obedience to be willing to sacrifice your only son. He was a unique character, a unique man of faith. We just applaud Abraham. We sure wish we could be like you. You are the Peyton Manning of the Bible. You're just talented, Abraham. Or maybe we applaud Isaac. After all, Isaac appears to be quite submissive, willing to be sacrificed. Or maybe we applaud Sarah. Maybe Sarah's in the background, Abraham's wife, and she encourages him, look, you better obey God. Maybe we give credit to his servants who are with him. Maybe they encourage Abraham, look, you need to do this. God told you, go do it. Who really gets the credit for Abraham passing the test? And who really gets the credit when you pass a test? It is none other than who? Our Lord and our God. This is really a text about how God prepares someone for a test and enables them to pass a test. So we give all praise and glory and honor to our God who gives us strength, Abraham's strength and faith that we pass every test and make it through every trial and tribulation. We make it even through death and enter life. When you really have a hard test, a difficult test, and you pass, it's not usually because of luck. It's not because you guessed well that particular day. It's because you prepared well. Abraham isn't lucky here. He's prepared well by his God. This is chapter 22. God has been working on Abraham since chapter 12, friends. For 10 chapters, God's been with Abraham, and God has shaped and molded Abraham and prepared him for this test. Three things God has taught Abraham, put in Abraham's heart. These are three things that God has taught us, put in our hearts, that we can pass every test and remain faithful through trials and tribulations and even death enter life. First of all, God has taught Abraham and us that he and he alone is Lord. There is no other God. He is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. He rules everything. And as the one true God, who rules the heavens and the earth, every person is accountable to him. He is to be honored and worshipped and revered and obeyed no matter what. And Abraham has learned that lesson by now. Recall how God called Abraham from a foreign land. Abraham lived in the Iraq area. He was a Gentile. He was an idolater. He worshipped idols, the Bible says. He didn't believe in God to begin with. He worshipped idols. Yet God called him from that area to the promised land. That's very significant. In that day, people believed in territorial gods. That territory has their gods. Our territory has our gods. That territory has their gods. When God calls Abraham from a different territory to this territory, God is saying, I'm the only God. I'm the God of every territory. I'm the God of the world. I'm the God of the universe. There are no idols. You're not your idols, Abraham. I'm the one true God. You must obey me and revere me. Abraham's learned a lesson. And I think another thing that had a great impact on Abraham of God being Lord is the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. where God said, these people are wicked. I've been patient, but they are wicked. And so I will bring fire and brimstone on that city, on those cities. And does God do it? God does it. God demands obedience, repentance, and God brings fire and brimstone. And then remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife turned, and she turned to salt. God means business. So when I say Abraham sacrificed, I mean it. You obey even though it makes no sense to you. We've learned that too. Our God is God and there's no other, and we are accountable to him, and we obey no matter what because he's God. You know, I read where someone was trying to help people take an interview. When you interview for a job, and of course confidence is always something that's important, to have confidence in your interview. And I read where before you go to your interview, you should do some postures to help you have confidence and strength. You should make a V before you enter the interview. I'm victorious in this interview. It'll give you confidence. You should put your hands on your hips to say, I'm it. I can get this job. I'm tough. Well, that's when you stand before someone who would be your boss. Go ahead. You don't stand before God. You get on your knees before God, as we did. You have ashes put on your head and you hear, you are dust, to dust you shall return. There's none of this before God, none of this before God. There's on my knees and say, God have mercy. And here I am, God, to do your will, whatever you want. You're God, I'm your lowly, lowly servant. But there's more here. There's better reasons why Abraham passes the test. God's taught him that he's Lord, but God has taught Abraham that, oh, how he really, really, really loves Abraham. If Abraham knows anything after these 10 chapters from 12 to 22, it's that this God of the universe really loves him and forgives him and has made him his child and is merciful to him and will do everything for him. Oh, the love that God has for Abraham. Again, he was an idolater and God called him from that and gave him faith. And God gave him a new land out of love, possessions out of love, wealth out of love. God gave him many servants out of love. I bless you, Abraham. God gave him a son, Isaac, out of love for him and Sarah and us. God defeated Abraham's enemies out of love. God reassured Abraham when he doubted out of love. Your descendants shall be like the stars in the sand. I love you, Abraham. Believe. God gave Abraham the word over and over again to reassure him. I'm going to keep my promise. I'm with you, Abraham. I love you. I'm your reward. I forgive you. When Abraham sinned, God forgave him and forgave him because Abraham sinned. Adultery and lies. God forgave him. If Abraham knows anything in Genesis chapter 22, this God of the universe really loves me. Little bitty me. And would save me. And because Abraham knows God loves him, I'll obey God. I don't understand, God, why you would want me to sacrifice my son, but I know because you love me, you have some purpose in it. I don't understand the purpose, Abraham's thinking, but you love me. You're a good God. You'll work it somehow for good. We think of Romans 8, all things work for good for those that love God, even the things that don't make no sense, that make no sense. God will work them all for my good because he's good. And he loves me. He's not against me. He's for me. And 4,000 years later, as we sit in the pew on this cold, snowy morning, we can see why God did this. All of this, Genesis chapter 22, is a foreshadowing, a preview of what God would do. It's a preview of Christ, that God would give his son, his only son, whom he loves. His name is Jesus, not Isaac. God would sacrifice his son. God would provide the lamb. The lamb is his son. And God would save the world. It makes no sense for Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. It saves no one. But God would sacrifice his son that would save all people, including you and I. So it's all a picture, a foreshadowing of the gospel of Jesus. That's the good purpose in it. And maybe Abraham began to believe that and see that. We see it more clearly after it's all taken place. Notice how Holy Week is right there in the story. Abraham, we're told, is on a donkey. Why the detail of a donkey? Palm Sunday. They go up to a mountain. We think of Mount Calvary. Actually, it probably is the same mountain, Mount Calvary. And then wood is mentioned two or three times. Wood. Isaac's laid on the wood, the details, the cross. God's son will be on wood. Abraham nearly slays him. God does slay his son. A spear is put into his side and he is pronounced dead for the sins of the world. It all happens on the third day. Read the text. On the third day we think of Easter and resurrection. And the ram is caught in the thicket. Its head is caught. We think of the crown of thorns. Jesus, the ram, was caught by thorns on his head. It's all foreshadowing. It's Holy Week. It's the gospel. That's the good purpose in this. Maybe Abraham didn't see it, but we sure see it. You know what people are talking about today? I heard on the radio driving over here, all eyes today will be on the red carpet. The Academy Awards tonight. I could care less. My eyes aren't on the red carpet and seeing Hollywood stars strut. Our eyes in Lent are on the red blood of a Savior. The red blood that I drink today and you drink for life and forgiveness. The red blood slain at Calvary's cross. The red blood that washes me clean today. May our eyes be on the red blood in Lent. The sacrifice of Christ. And last of all, and perhaps the greatest way that God prepared Abraham. He taught Abraham, I'm the Lord. He taught Abraham, I love you. And he teaches Abraham that he gives life. God's a God of resurrection, a God of life. The New Testament tells us the main reason why Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac. You know what it is? The New Testament tells us this. The main reason why Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac is that Abraham believed. Abraham believed that God would raise him from the dead. I'll sacrifice my son because Abraham believed in Easter. He believed that God would raise his son from the dead and the promise of a Savior would continue. It's right there in your New Testament. Abraham believed that God is a God of resurrection and life. Now, how had God prepared Abraham to believe that? By the birth of Isaac. You know how old Abraham was and Sarah was when she gave birth? Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah, 90 years old when she gave birth to Isaac. And the New Testament again tells us that Abraham and Sarah, who were as good as dead, their bodies were lifeless, so to speak. Their bodies were dead. And yet from their, quote, dead bodies, a 100-year-old man, a 90-year-old woman, from their dead bodies, God brought forth life, Isaac. It's a mini resurrection. And Abraham knew, if God can allow me, a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman, to have a son, God would give life to our bodies that way, to give life to a son. God can raise my son from the dead. He believed in the resurrection. And dear friends, you have tests and trials. I know all of you do, whatever they may be. Our greatest test is going to be this. We're all going to face death. I'm going to die, and you're going to die. Some of us quickly, we will hardly know what even happens. Others of us will know what's coming. Will we pass the test? Will we really believe in those dark hours of pain or whatever it is, are we really going to believe that God loves me? That Jesus paid for my sins? I am right with my God and I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to live in glory and my dead body will be raised into a new glorious body. Will we really pass the test and keep the faith, or will we despair and give it all up and say, I can't believe that stuff? When I'm facing the grave. God's prepared you for that. He's prepared you and I. It's called Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Yes, Easter's coming. Our belief in the resurrection, our belief in heaven, is not some flimsy, wishy-washy belief that's based on nothing. Some fairy tale we believe. It's based on evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. That God gave Isaac to Sarah and to Abraham. That Jesus raised Lazarus from the grave, the widow of Nain's son from the grave, Jairus' daughter from the grave. Jesus has conquered death. It's evidence. And so God prepared us to believe in the resurrection. Believe in Easter. Believe you rise again. When you face death, don't do not be afraid. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for thou art with me. Believe it. In that hour of pain and trouble, the light of God is there and he'll take you to heaven. God's prepared us for every test. Are you tired of the Siberian Express? Last year it was the polar vortex, was it? Now we have a Siberian Express. I mean, what's next year? The Antarctica train or something going to hit us? Now, how do we make it through these cold days and snowy days? How do we make it through and keep good cheer? I'll tell you how we do that. We know it's going to warm up. It won't be like this come May or June or July. We know it'll warm up. It's just temporary. How do we know that? Because there's been hundreds and thousands of years where spring has come. We don't believe it because we have no evidence. We have evidence. Spring comes, spring comes, spring comes. It's going to warm up. Duh. You're going to rise from the grave. You're going to live forever in Christ. He rose again. Duh, Pastor. I know that. I'm prepared to face death and all of hell. I'm prepared to face the devil when he tempts me. I'm prepared to face whatever, cancer, sickness. I'm prepared to face it in faith. Pass the test, First Lutheran. Pass your test, whatever it may be. Our God is Lord. Obey him, no matter what. Our God really, really loves us. Our God's the resurrection and the life. We are well prepared. Amen. We stand. We confess our faith in our gracious, loving God of life and victory. The Nicene Creed, inside back cover of your hymnal.